who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside. Community Matter shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Hello and welcome to Community Matters for this week. I'm Jane Herring. And with me today, I have the Director of County Parks, Matt Collins, and Community Relations Liaison, Chris Coachman from the City of Kenosha. And we're going to be talking about fun today. And I think that's a great subject. The parks are kind of divided by city and county, and I don't know to what degree people really notice or care, but we probably will be talking about a little bit of the division. They'll know the names of the parks, but I thought today we could talk about some of the amenities, some of the changes in the parks, some of the events as we're kicking off this season where we can really enjoy the parks. Now, I enjoy snowshoeing, so I'm in both of your parks during the winter, but you know, I'm kind of alone sometimes. So I think summer is when everything is happening. So let's start just talking about why the city and the county feel the parks are there. What is their purpose? And why don't we begin with you, Matt?
Sure. So absolutely. You're right about spring, summer right around the corner. So this is a great time to be talking about parks for both of our city and county. And the most important thing, what we keep in mind with any of our new amenities, our programs, our development, is truly our mission statement of why we're here and what the purpose is for that. So our mission statement is kind of lengthy, but we really hit pillars of high points that really include public parks as a bridge to conservation awareness, healthy outdoor recreation, partnerships, continuous improvement, and youth engagement. So as long as we really stick to those core variables for our community, visitors, and general public, I think we're on the right path.
Sounds excellent. And Chris, from a city standpoint, where does the Park Commission and city administration fall in terms of why the parks are here to serve the community?
Well, the parks are certainly a wonderful asset for the city, and we're very glad to welcome residents and visitors alike just to enjoy a beautiful stroll along the lakefront or a bike ride along one of the bike paths. But more and more, we're seeing opportunities to program the parks with special events. The city puts on several special events itself. Most noteworthy probably would be the 4th of July celebration in partnership with others, including the county. But also a lot of community partners like to put on events, and we very much encourage them and have strong support from our Parks Commission as well as the mayor and city administration.
It's hard for me not to fall into the, well, how do we do this and how do we do that and how do people get involved? So I'm going to try to fight against that impulse and just, I think you're leading to something for events in particular that some are generated by the city and some are generated by other organizations.
Correct.
Or individuals.
Yes.
And maybe each of you can address that. Chris, you are starting down that path. Why don't we talk a little bit more about it?
Sure. So over the years, the 4th of July celebration really has evolved to offer more free public entertainment for everyone on more than the 4th of July. Often we get underway on the 3rd and carry on until the 5th, depending on how it falls in relation to the weekend. But the city seems to really have embraced it, and we get so many people coming out for all the entertainment leading up to the festival food fireworks, which are at 9:30 p.m. on July 4th, if you wish to save the date.
Never too early.
Yeah, so that's the big one. The other really big one this year is Kenosha Tall Ships. We're hosting a Tall Ships Festival August 1st through 4th at the harbor, and the city is the presenting entity for that one, but with, again, a lot of good partnerships in the community making that happen.
And Matt, I know that you have a lot of partners, and you're starting to program the parks a little bit more on the county side.
Absolutely. So a lot of our special events and just our partnerships started right around Memorial Day weekend. And our major full swing events really starts next week, where we're going to be doing almost daily free activities, more so throughout our whole entire park system, but especially Petrifying Springs Park being kind of our gem of the park system and our most visited. We have about a million people that come to Petrifying Springs Park on an annual basis. So it's extremely busy, especially in the summertime.
Wow.
But starting next week, we're going to offer yoga in the park on Mondays for a 10-week period. Tots in the Park. It's a youth recreation program sponsored by Pringle Nature Center. That's going to be happening, and it's really every week is going to be a different education, environmental education program that Pringle Nature Center brings over to Petrifying Springs Park. We also have CrossFit in the park, and that might seem a little intimidating to the average person, but that's a free activity for people just to get their feet wet and try it out. And they really cater towards every type of ability, per se. And then after that, we have on Fridays, starting next week, Gruber Law Offices presents the movie nights in the park. So every Friday evening, right next to our beer garden, we're going to have a unique movie. And this next Friday, we're going to be showing Napoleon Dynamite, which is going to be kind of a fun one. A lot of people have seen that quirky movie. But we're actually, if you have seen it, we're bringing a food truck that actually caters towards tater tots. So if you've ever seen the movie, it's always about tater tots with Napoleon Dynamite. So we're trying just to engage with our community, bring in some fun, free activities for our general public. Other than Petrifying Springs Park, we have the Twilight Jazz with Kemper Center, Anderson Arts Center. We also have yoga going on over at Old Settlers Park. And I could go on and on, but we really, I think the last time I counted, we have almost 100 events throughout 2019 that we offer for the community. So I think if I kept on speaking, we would probably be here until tomorrow.
Well, and in both of your cases, where do you find out about those ongoing events? What's the best place to look first at the county?
Sure. I would say the best way for us is our social media, either Facebook. We have Instagram page and also Twitter. So as long as you can follow us on one of those platforms, it always prompts our followers of those daily activities. So that's the best way. Also, if you just go to parks.kenoshacounty.org, our main website, we always have the information on that platform as well.
Okay, that's great to know. And on the city side?
The city's website is kenosha.org, and you can look for the city events page. There's a lot of details about events the city's putting on, as well as those put on by other organizations. Mm. And if you're wondering if you don't see your favorite summer event there yet, perhaps it just hasn't made its way through the approval process. Once it's approved by Parks Commission, we put that on the kenosha.org's website. In addition to that, we do have Facebook, kenoshatallships.com. is our website, and then Kenosha Tall Ships is the Facebook handle. So lots of details on those ships.
Oh, I bet. Mm-hmm. I bet that. I know that we've talked about it on a previous program, and it sounds like it's going to be quite the event for the city this year.
Yes.
And that's kind of interesting. As long as we're at the lakefront, looking at those tall ships, there's a lot of improvements going on along the lakefront, to the point where it's like, how do I get around here? Because you have the, am I going to pronounce it correctly, the revetment project? Mm-hmm. In other words, the really big rocks being dropped along Kennedy Park.
Yes, that is a necessity. We want to protect our lakefront. So this summer, there's a big endeavor with our engineering department, working with a contractor, of course, to install a lot more large granite rocks along Kennedy Park. So unfortunately, that means access to the park is quite limited. People can still access the west end of the park from the end of Washington Road, for example, near the playground area, and make use of that. But most of the park is needing to be shut down for safety reasons, including the path Kennedy Drive through the park.
And then you keep on moving south, and you've got Simmons Island, which is kind of exciting to see what's going on there.
Yes, we're very excited about those improvements as well. People can anticipate later this summer enjoying new playground equipment down at Simmons Island Park and additional parking. That project we expect will be wrapped up by the 4th of July, by and large, but there still may be some finishing touches yet in July.
Well, and I guess that's a big question is Simmons Island used to be the main place to go, and now I know the whole lakefront is open for the fireworks and all of the programming. Will Simmons Island be open enough and for people to watch the fireworks, do you think?
Yes.
For them, they're cooperating, of course, with the construction.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yes, Simmons Island continues to be a popular area for people to celebrate the 4th of July. However, it's a case where people need to be prepared to walk in with their picnic items and so forth. There's not through traffic driving down to Simmons Island. a very popular area for the fireworks is the Harbor Park area, just east of the museums, because that's actually where they shoot off the fireworks. And if you really like to be rocked by those fireworks and really feel like you're in the middle of it all, east of the museums is the place to be.
And I know there's lots of entertainment that goes on in that area, too.
Yes, that's primarily where the bands are. And we have the Pier Pups dog dock leaping contest and all kinds of hoopla.
And we can talk more about that a little bit later. Now, I know on the county side, Pet seems to be where a lot of things are happening. And your beer garden started, as an experiment a couple of years ago? And, really taken off.
It was actually a five-year agreement that we jumped in with both feet in the deep end.
Excellent.
And it's been fantastic with our partners at the Petrifying Springs Park Beer Garden. This not only brings in and engages with more community that we had otherwise not seen. A lot of people even commented, I haven't been in this park in years, and it just gave them an excuse to bring their family back to Petrifying Springs Park since all the new developments. So it's really family-centric, and it's been not only beneficial to see an increase in our park patrons visit the park, which is always our ultimate goal, but a portion of each stein or whatever else they purchase goes back to the county park system, and that's our ultimate goal. And you can see that through improvements already being made adjacent to the beer garden with a new restroom storage facility and a softball field being constructed currently.
And you're extending that kind of public-private partnership that ultimately allows the parks to grow or be a little bit more self-supporting, give or take, with the new Boundless Adventures.
Yes, that's correct. Our ribbon cutting was this last Tuesday, so they have been officially open on weekends since Memorial Day, but that's another great example that we, again, go back to our mission statement and see if these types of partnerships really align with what we want out of our county park system. And Boundless Adventures met all those criteria.
And that's Bristol Woods
Park. And, so that's a 200-acre park. Boundless Adventures is approximately 6 acres within that park. And we worked very closely with the Pringle Nature Center, obviously, to make sure that they were comfortable with this partnership, but trying to truly figure out how we can enhance not only our park and our park users through Boundless Adventures, but the educational curriculum and the environmental education curriculum through their naturalists. So when the kids are actually able to get on the high ropes course, we're going to be labeling all the different trees, natural areas within the park, and they're actually going to have educational curriculum up in the high ropes course, too, through Pringle Nature Center. So it's all about synergy, collaboration, and trying to find out how we can really get these things going for not only a win-win, but in this case, a win-win-win with Pringle Nature Center.
Well, and it's curious because you mentioned that Pringle is also going to be doing the naturalist programs at not their facility on, is that Tuesdays? Wednesdays. Tuesdays, the TOTS program where Pringle comes over to Pets.
That's correct. Yeah, so they're really trying to branch out to let our entire community know what's truly almost right in their backyard so we can reach different demographics by Pringle having that opportunity to not only get the ears of kids that maybe go there for the programming at Boundless Adventures, but then maybe there's different age levels that aren't ready. So they can go over to Pringle Nature Center and enjoy maybe something else that Pringle would offer. Or over at Petrifying Springs Park, the people that haven't driven west to our nature center in Bristol Woods Park, they have an opportunity to dabble and see what they offer for that curriculum on the eastern side.
Well, I have to admit that Pringle had been on my bucket list to visit for a lot of years. And, you know, heaven forbid I go from my eastern location where I live and cross the eye. And I'm sure glad I did because it's a beautiful area. And I think, you know, that's probably one of the things, Matt, that you face is just the – well, you have that big wall that sits right in the middle of the county called I-94. And then just you've got such a variety of large parks, especially out west.
Right. We consider ours more regional parks, whereas the city, they're very urbanized, and I would call those more neighborhood parks. So we have the variety that we have 200, 300-acre parks that we can create vast amenities for the general public because we have that real estate to do so, especially out west. And by doing so, we're able to add in these free amenities such as 10 miles of mountain bike trails that we also partner with a local volunteer network to help build and manage and maintain these mountain bike trails through Silver Lake Park. Mm. So by working with different communities, members, either for-profit, in a lot of cases non-for-profit, we're able to enhance these amenities throughout our park system because we truly want them to be that regional attraction east of the eye, west of the eye, and beyond, that we want to be known as truly one of the best park systems, not only in the state, but the country, and I'm a firm believer in that.
I am looking at a pamphlet, an activity guide that you left with me for 2019, and you mentioned that you do that every year. Is that the best place to find out where all the amenities are located?
Yeah, I think that's a great thing that you should keep in your car at all times, because not only is that activity guide for the Kenosha County Park System, but we collaborated with the city as well, where it has all of the green spaces throughout Kenosha County.
Ah.
So it's got the names, addresses, and we do internal advertisements of all of our park amenities, from dog parks to disc golf courses. Over our 90 to 100 special events are listed in there.
Oh,
so
brother.
It's really a one-stop shop for that activity guide that you can have that in your back pocket. So if any of your kids or family members say that they're bored, there's no excuse. Just pull out that activity guide, mm-hmm. and there's always something to do within our Kenosha County parks.
So they can pick that up, I'm sure, at the tourist centers, either downtown or out at the interstate. But where else are they able to pick them up?
So we have about 40 to 50 locations that we distribute those throughout Kenosha County. So I would say start on our website, and you can actually download e-version of that. Or stop, like you said, at the Visitor Bureau, our Kenosha County Center, downtown. Any basically public entity should have those within our cities, townships, villages, should be carrying our activity guides.
Excellent. Now, let's talk amenities for a little while. And I think that that's there's so many different categories. People, like when you're talking about, well, what do you want to do? It's a matter of, well, what do you normally like to do? And then probably you have it. So I need a wild list, you know, from boating to skiing to skating to biking to whatever. Maybe you can talk a little bit about what your parks offer, even softball, you name it.
Sure. You go ahead first, Chris.
Well, swimming comes to mind, although Lake Michigan isn't for the faint of heart.
And not today yet. Yeah.
And not today yet. Simmons Island Beach is our most popular swimming beach. And by swimming, I mean it could be wading. It could be a lot of building sandcastles, enjoying your picnic at the beach, that sort of thing. Another nice thing about Simmons Island Beach is that there's that new playground to enjoy, but then there's also up the hill near the marina. There's another playground and some bathrooms, and families seem to really enjoy that beach area. I would say as a whole, it's just so nice to have 13 miles of public accessible lakefront among all of our parks, starting at near Carthage College with Alford Park Beach, which is more of a natural beach.
Mm-hmm.
But we have our bike path running alongside it. Then you get into Pennoyer Park near the Bandshell. Kennedy, like we mentioned, under construction, but still it's kind of a link to the other areas. Simmons Island with the beach. And then once you get past downtown, you continue on with Eichelman and Wolfenbüttel Parks, and then on even to Southport Park. So there's really a lot to offer people.
And really, at every park, you have some children's play area. Mm-hmm. Not at Alford. Like you say, that's more of a natural mm-hmm. park. But so you have play equipment, bring your family. You have picnic tables. So, I mean, at bare minimum, you have that. And each one, it seems to be programming, like the Bandshell, mm-hmm. for other activities.
Exactly. There's quite a lot of outdoor summer concert opportunities that are free, particularly in July and August. The city puts on the Peanut Butter and Jam concert series mm-hmm. on Thursdays at 11:30 and again at 6 p.m. outside City Hall. Those will get underway on July 11th.
So that's about 54th Street and 6th Avenue.
Yes. Yes. But then other entities like Downtown Kenosha Inc. has been putting on a fun public beach party down by the Simmons Island Beach, where you have everything from organized volleyball games on the beach to bonfires to kids' sandcastle contests. And that's coming up in mid-August.
Oh, okay.
Running over 2 weekends, I believe.
All right. So that's I've seen it called a pop-up beer garden. I've seen it called a lot of different things, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't quite sure they were all the one thing. Well, Yes. Sometimes one has to have that.
Yes.
Okay. So that's, two weekends in mid-August. And that's one of those situations that each of you have mentioned, that you have not-for-profit organizations that are partnering mm-hmm. with your public entities in order to, promote both the park and whatever they're trying to promote as well, bring people to the area.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have so many different diverse groups that come up with all these creative ideas and how to celebrate summer, basically. That's what it's all about. Not that there aren't fun things in the fall and spring as well, and even in winter with our Snow Days Festival downtown, but it really summer is where it's at.
And you had good winter weather this year for your Snow Days.
I was very happy about that, yes.
And on the county level, kind of a different collection of amenities, especially when you get out west to some of the lakes and rivers.
Right. So we're all about diversifying our parks. At each park, we want to have more of a unique experience, but still know that you're in a Kenosha County park. So it's definitely one of those games that you got to play. But we don't want to ever just duplicate. If it works with one park, well, that's great for that one park, but let's try the variety, and that's what we've been really successful with. So we have numerous activities both in our parks and also utilizing our natural resources. For example, our Fox River Water Trail, that we created more river access and accessibility through 4 launch spots along the Fox River to really take advantage of that river. It's a beautiful river, and I kayak the whole thing. It takes about 3.5 hours to do the entire corridor. But you truly feel like you're in the middle of nowhere. It's very serene, peaceful. So I encourage people not only to visit our county park system, but get on the water trail as well for those things. But we have variety as far as disc golf courses at Fox River Park. I mentioned mountain bike trails, but also our multi-use trail system. So all abilities, from beginner, intermediate, we have paved and non-paved hiking trails. So a very, very vast trail network, which I think is beneficial for a lot of users. On top of that, we do have a lot of winter activities that people should know that we're a 365 operation being in the parks, and we're continuing to grow those types of opportunities. We have snowshoe rentals over at Pringle Nature Center, so when it does snow, we're open and ready to go. Cross-country skiing, we partner again with a nonprofit volunteer group that they actually just fundraised for a brand-new snowmobile to groom all the cross-country ski trails on UW Parkside property. So we collaborate with this group. They're able to groom not only trails with Parkside and then hopefully with Pets trails as well. So other than that, our beaches are open at Silver Lake and also on Paddock Lake and Old Settlers Park. We have 3 different dog parks throughout the county. Golf courses, obviously, at Brightondale and Petrifying Springs Park. And obviously our pavilion rentals, too. So if people are looking for a family picnic and they have something that really is theirs, each one of our parks offers these pavilion rentals. So, again, just go to our main website, and you're able to have an online reservation system and just click through a couple buttons and reserve a pavilion.
It's good that it is available online like that, too.
We're trying to make it easy for our customers.
Very good. We are listening to Community Matters with Matt Collins, Director of Kenosha County Parks, and Chris Coachman, who is the Community Relations Liaison for the City of Kenosha. And we've been talking about amenities and mission of the parks and some of the great events that are going on, as well as some of the park improvements, things coming up this summer. I want to do a little bit more of a deep dive in things, and if it sounds like it's self-serving, that's probably true. You were talking about the Fox River kayaking, and I think, first, how long is that?
It's over 3 miles, I'm pretty sure. I don't have it in front of me, but
sure.
You definitely feel it after you're done with the whole thing. I'll tell you that much.
But I think that's one of the types of things where there might be a lot of questions about that particular activity as to whether what kind of ability they have to do it. I mean, I don't think you have white water ratings on the Fox River.
No, but it's fairly peaceful. It really depends on the season that you go. In spring, maybe your currents are a little bit heavier with those, but by no means did I say it was a rough ride at any means. The Fox River within Kenosha County is fairly wide, too, so you never have to traverse over any obstructions or anything like that. So it's a fairly wide, open path, and paddle at your own speed. So I was more of, a person that wants to, go at a certain pace, a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. But for those that just want to go out there, you can just pick 2 launch spots, and it won't take you that 3.5 hours. You can get it done within 45 minutes, or if you want to just be more casual, stay out there for longer. So that's why we strategically had four different locations based on your ability and how much time you really have.
That sounds great. And you bring your own kayak. There's no rentals anywhere along there, right?
There's no direct rentals, but I know that there are some businesses that do offer rentals of canoes and kayaks for large groups. Off the top of my head, I know a Tip a Canoe is one that helped us out with our grand opening.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
They were able to offer free kayak and canoe rentals during that grand opening event a couple years ago. So if you don't have your own and you're just interested in trying it out, I know there's local businesses that can support you.
Okay, that sounds pretty cool. And now on the city side, Matt mentioned the three dog parks in the county. The dog park that's at Anderson Park, is that a city-operated
Correct.
Dog park? So
yes.
That's probably a fourth dog park located within the
yes.
confines of the county.
Mm-hmm. I know that's pretty popular, too.
And are there special permitting for either of those dog parks?
I know on the county side, there is an annual fee. It's $25 for a resident to pick up a tag, and then you're good for that calendar year. So right after January 1st, it's the $25. Or if you just want to go and try it out, it's $2 per dog.
Okay, and there's probably like a cash box type of
yep,
thing.
Yep, there's a fee station right before we have the Sallyport entranceways. And there's other fee structures for the senior citizens or people with disabilities, resident versus non-resident. So those are the kind of the general rates. But again, we have those posted online for all the details.
I was going to say, I'm sure both the city and the county have that kind of thing available. And I think, again, people have questions about whether or not they can access it or not. Going to some of the events again and talking more about the public-private partnerships and sponsorships. A couple of times it's come up that different businesses. Now, I know specifically with the beer garden at Pets and Boundless Adventures, those are definitely outside ownership of entities that happen to be operating within the park, right? You mentioned
that's
the
correct.
5-year agreement, for
yes.
instance, with the beer garden.
Yes, and that's a little bit new to the county because most mm-hmm. of our other partnerships beforehand were either volunteer-based or nonprofit, so a non-for-profit status such as the Pringle Nature Center. But if we find the right partners, either on the for-profit or non-for-profit, and it aligns with our mission statement, we definitely choose wisely to make sure that it's still in the best interest of our community.
Well, that's, I guess I have to say, I can see where there might initially, it's something new, and we all know how good we are about that, that there might have been some pushback, yet look at how successful the beer garden's been, for instance.
Right. Change can be difficult for people from when they see our parks are 90-plus years old now.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's a legacy to behold, and we need to respect that going into these types of conversations, because if we don't respect where we came from, how can we move forward? So it's truly striking a balance. And when we do these discussions, yeah, change can, you know, have different types of opinions. But a lot of those people in regards to the beer garden, once it became operational, I haven't heard a single negative thing. And I think that it becomes an experience for people on all levels. And this is more of a family-based place to bring your kids. And they have fun things on Sundays. It's a family-themed day where you have face painters, you have bounce houses for the kids, ice cream, popsicles. I was just there today, and a father and son were on their bike on the multi-use path that goes right past our beer garden. The dad stopped and looked at the menu, and the kid was able to get a treat on their bike ride. So it becomes a concessionaire as well, just for a dad and a son that are out for a bike ride on a nice sunny day. So when people hear beer garden, they might have an initial perception of what that is. And yeah, that's not it
yeah.
whatsoever. It's really just a concession amenity that brings in a lot of different varieties of people, all positive.
That's excellent. And I know on the city side, it's more on a sponsorship basis of specific events, correct?
Yes, we have a lot of nonprofit partners. You know, your question to your point about the private-public partnerships, certainly we have a couple of very successful events. The Wisconsin Marathon comes to mind, and that's run by Chicago Athlete Magazine the first weekend in May and brings several thousand people to Kenosha's downtown, kind of kicks up kicks off the summer season. So those are certainly welcome, those opportunities as well. It just seems like Kenosha has a long tradition of service organizations, have found a good way to raise funds for their charitable endeavors. Taste of Wisconsin comes to mind, run by the Western Kiwanis of Kenosha County, where it's a sampling of all things Wisconsin food, and there's beer for purchase, and really brings a lot of people out and raises a lot of funds for them.
And then a lot of things, like you mentioned, the fireworks, our festival foods sponsors
that. Major sponsor of that. And, of course, our related parade sponsored by Snap-on. We're really happy to have that on June 30th coming up. For those who don't know, Kenosha puts our parade on the Sunday prior to the 4th of July. So that's something fun. We'd love to have the community come out and support that and line the streets of 60th Street all the way to downtown from the uptown area.
And I know this is sort of a nitty-gritty type of question, talking about, I don't want to say capabilities, but capacity for being able to support some of these events in both the city and the county. And I'm sure those are questions that the city council and the county board probably bring up as new things are approved. Is, do we have the ability to support, for instance, the Wisconsin Marathon? Mm-hmm. That takes it takes somebody to put down all the barricades. Mm-hmm. It takes police services.
Absolutely. And so they do have to pay for things like that. Mm-hmm. We do give quite a cost break to nonprofit organizations, but you're right. There's a tipping point where we only have so much manpower or staffing power and only so many barricades, et cetera. So we do have to balance that. We have a portable stage that's very popular for rental called the Showmobile. And I can tell you right now, it's booked every weekend in July and August.
Wow.
Already by people who are eager to make use of that for their entertainment needs.
Are there similar concerns at the county level in terms of people, facilities, and shortage thereof?
Sure. So a couple points to that. When I mentioned like the weekly events over at Petrifying Springs mm-hmm. Park with either CrossFit, that's sponsored by CrossFit Kenosha. So we don't mm-hmm. really have any staffing whatsoever that we find these local businesses to put on these events. And they do it free of charge for publicity, such as this radio station we're on. So
right.
I can mention CrossFit Kenosha mm-hmm. within is our proud partner. Same thing with yoga. That's Villip Wellness. They're doing our yoga on a weekly basis free of charge for the county, so we don't have to pay for that fee. But we're able to give them unique exposure. Mm-hmm. And that goes for a lot of our special events that we do, that if it's one that we want, we go through and we find those community sponsors, either corporations or anyone else that either wants to be part of that within the park system or actually put on the event themselves. We have a fairly large event that we've been doing for 3 years now. It started off as our 90th anniversary event at Petrifying Springs Park, but we converted that over to a picnic in the park. And that actually was rekindled after a hiatus of about 20 years or so.
Oh, gosh.
That we brought that back, and it's just been a huge success to our park system. And how we do that is through sponsorships. And we're raising the funds right now to almost be a net zero for that event based on how much sponsors we get to put on that event. And we're talking bands from 1:30 to 8:30. The headliner band is a national act. It's a Tom Petty tribute band, mm-hmm. which I think that's going to draw in a lot of people, because usually you got to pay for tickets to enter a venue and a music act like that. So not only the music, but we have a traveling food truck tour that's coming to Pets Park 4 times this year. And one of the times is on August 24th for our picnic in the parks. We're going to have up to 20 food trucks at event. So that's going to be huge for us. Then we have sponsors that donate for bounce houses and kids' activities. We have other sponsors that do, like, interactive activities with families that go through the crowds with entertainers. Mm. We obviously have the beer garden right over there. So it's going to be a huge event, free for the general public, except for food and beverage, of course. But how we do those things and how we try to engage with our community is through local businesses and their financial support. So it's not really set on to the taxpayers.
And I know that that's a challenge. Again, it mm-hmm. takes somebody to go out and work with these businesses. Rarely do you get somebody knocking on your door saying, I'd like to give you money for something, right?
Right, yeah. So, we have to go out and really, that's the cold calling involved, where we got to try to show these local businesses not only the importance of our park system and engaging with the community, but of course the exposure to their business and partnering with a positive organization such as a city or a county park system. That's important to everyone involved.
And I see you nodding, Chris, because I assume you face that as well.
Yes. Yeah, we're fortunate that we do have some wonderful community partners. And, I mean, that's what makes a lot of this possible. I mean, we would somehow manage to have fireworks one way or the other, but it just sure makes it a lot easier when we have partnerships like Festival Foods and Kenosha County that help us put on this big party for everyone to enjoy.
So since we do have some time left here, let's talk about the big party in a little bit greater detail, because I know you've been working hard on that. What can we expect to enjoy? You mentioned it's not going to just be the 4th, so let's start with the 3rd.
Sure. Well, we start programming several of the stages. First of all, a carnival comes in. If people are familiar with the area around Southport Marina, we have a carnival that comes in for several days. This year it's the 3rd through the 5th. Yes, I had to think about that. But then another popular attraction that we have the 4th and the 5th is the Pier Pups dog jumping, where you have to kind of picture it, but it's like a large above-ground pool. And these are mainly retriever-type dogs that run and leap off the dock to see who can leap the furthest. And there's some splashing involved, and people
that's
just
the right weather for that.
People really enjoy that. Yeah, it's a good way to get cooled off. And you just see so many people strolling around and just enjoying the beauty of the lakefront and maybe stopping for a little food and then maybe wandering over to one of several stages of entertainment. And we try to stagger the entertainment so there's something going on most of the time. And you'll see people staking out a spot early in the morning, although we will ask them this year not to actually stake with stakes because that's not very good for our irrigation system. But they may set up their blankets and lawn chairs starting at 5 a.m. on July 4th. No overnight camping, please. But I know people are really excited to get the best spot for viewing those fireworks. And like I said, meanwhile, they can certainly pack a picnic and enjoy the day, but there's a lot of food vendors available for refreshment. And our Kenosha Public Museum and Civil War Museum are open on the 4th from at least 1 till 5 p.m., where you might want to go into the air conditioning, enjoy some of the exhibits, get a little education before you go back out for your next corn dog.
You had mentioned entertainment, and I don't want to catch you out, but do you recall who some of the bands are offhand? I'm sure the Kenosha Pops plays at some point.
Well, that is a really good thing. I'm glad you brought up, Jane, because people may be used to finding the Kenosha Pops at Wolf and Butte Park on the 4th of July on our portable stage, which they've done for many years. But this year we're changing it up, and they're actually performing on their usual home stage at the band shell at 4 p.m. on July 4th, and we do program Panora Park with some entertainment on that day, just as an alternative for some people who might prefer, you know, to go down to that beach area and maybe not be right in the heart of all the activity. But we'll also have Saturday June Band performing that evening from 7 to 9 p.m., kind of warming us up before the fireworks.
That sounds great. Yes. And you've also had entertainment in the past down at the Southport Marina area next to the carnival. Is that still going to be happening?
We will have, yes. We have so many bands programmed there. I'm sorry I don't have with, but it's just a little teaser. Check back at, you know, at the Kenosha.org website. We promise we'll have that posted by June 20th.
Okay. Yeah, that's coming up pretty quick.
I know. I know.
And we still have a few more moments, but let's talk about, you've mentioned Kenosha.org. Click on parks or click on events or click on what?
Actually, yes, events.
Okay.
If you click on parks, that's good too. And there's a link to special events and so forth. But there is actually one of the headers at the top is for events, Kenosha events. So that will take you to all sorts of wonderful things you might want to know about. Kenosha Pop Schedule, the Peanut Butter and Jam concert series.
Cool.
The parade and 4th of July. It's all out there.
Okay. And your website, Matt, the county website.
Absolutely. That's parks.kenoshacounty.org. and that'll lead you to our main website. And we actually have our social media feed that links right over to our webpage, too. So even if you don't have a Facebook account, you can still see the live Facebook feed on our main website, too. So it's for all levels.
That is a good thing, I think. One of the things that you mentioned, and I didn't want to lose that with the website, we were talking about improvements earlier, and I have not gone on the parks page for a while, so I will admit to that. I should have before this interview. But I know you used to have the plans, like for Simmons Island, the long-range plan for developing the park. Are those types of plans still available to your knowledge, that if people want to know what's going on down there, they're probably a good place
to check?
There's
at least some information there to get people started.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was just one of those things that passed through my mind, because I thought that's really was helpful. Is like, what are they doing down there? Oh, yeah, I remember those plans.
Right.
And
right.
They're kind of following that. And, again, we have just a couple of minutes, but you mentioned how popular Petrifying Springs Park is. Mm-hmm. And I know last year the riverbed from about halfway through was really ripped up, and I'm sure you got a ton of questions on that restoration project. What's the main goal of it?
There's not only one main goal. I would maybe call that the trifecta of goals with our Pike River. So anyone that knows the Pike River, that's a very high flow, high velocity river. And it truly started with the village of Mount Pleasant. And what they did was a 9-phase improvement plan where they acquired property, created retention, detention basins to truly try to slow down that water velocity and manage stormwater events. And guess what? We're next in line, being Kenosha County, going down the river. And what a better opportunity than in the hub of what has many eyes on it is Petrifying Springs Park. So we developed a 3-phase plan, and last year we started phase one thanks to a lot of national grants that were able to successfully complete phase one. And that's really going to help out with that stormwater management, reduce the amount of erosion with a lot of those banks caving in. But also it's going to help out with that environmental corridor, not only with the fish population, getting the pike back in the Pike River, hopefully. That's a main goal, because a lot of these in-stream features include habitat for our in-stream community, being fish and other types of species within it. And then also on the outer edge, removing a lot of those invasive species. So when you said that it really got ripped up, it's to take about, I would say, 75 to 95% of that vegetation was invasive in nature. And we're replanting currently. Our contractor's just finishing up the environmental improvements, and you'll start to see a lot of prairie grasses, different seed mixes that are native to our plant community, as well as trees, shrubs, livestock. So it's a really comprehensive approach to really restore our river shed, not only through the park, but hopefully beyond, because this is going to be an educational example of what we can do to our watershed throughout our entire community.
And on a micro level, it seems like it's going to reduce some of the flooding of the road every time when you get a very severe storm.
What I would say to that is I can't make any promises, because we only have so much real estate. It always goes back to that, because most of Petrifying Springs Park within our parkway is considered floodplain. So in order to really engage and try to slow down or try to remove some of those flooding issues, you need that real estate. So what we've done is be creative with slowing down that water velocity as much as possible.
And that's helpful. Well, yes. I want to thank you both for joining us today. Really great discussion with Matt Collins, Director of Kenosha County Parks, and Chris Coachman, who is Community Relations Liaison for the city. And I'm Jane Herring, thanking you for joining us today.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the second annual Lake County Respond to Hunger Food Drive event will take place Tuesday, July 23rd from 8 to noon at the Lake County Fairgrounds. Find the event on Facebook.
Support for WGTD comes from Jack Andrea. Visit jackandrea.com to shop their exclusive hometown collection, including Kenosha t-shirts, sweatshirts, mugs, books, and more. Jack Andrea, Kenosha's hometown store since 1911.
Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more is available 24 hours a day on your desktop, laptop, smartphone, or radio. To access 24/7 Jazz WGTD on your computer, go to WGTD.org, where you can listen live, online, 24 hours a day. On your smartphone, download the free WGTD app. In the Kenosha Racine area, 24/7 Jazz WGTD HD2 is available via HD radio. For more information, call 262-564-3030.